You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, as always, thanks for having me.
Tim, the last time we chatted, you believe the war was a cover story for the market topping out. Is that still the case?
Yes, I think so, and I'm kind of more convinced than ever, to be honest with you. And if I could elaborate on that a little bit, this goes back to something we've been talking about and have been watching for a long time. And I don't mean to be boring with this, but I want to say it, go through it again, and help people see it and understand it, and maybe to make more sense that way, instead of, especially someone new who hasn't been listening. But, you know, I have found that there's been a number of long-term economic cycles going back to the founding of the U.S., basically. And, you know, the first cycle had a strong economic underpinning with, you know, the settling of the West, and or the settling of the country, period, but particularly the West and land speculation and farming and that sort of thing. And then we had, looking at history, you know, and who knows market history or wants to look up the market history, that cycle turned down with what they called the Panic of 1818, 1819, and then there was a secondary panic called the Panic of 1837. And those were highly deflationary downturns. It took that long-term cycle down into, you know, a low in the 1840s. And then the cycle turned up, peaking pretty much with the Civil War. And then it rolled over. It coincided, by the way, not only with the Civil War, but it was driven principally by kind of more of the same, the settling of the land, of the country, and what was dubbed at that time the railroad bubble. And, you know, that was the technology of the day, you know, connecting the nation is a big, big deal. And anyone's heard of the railroad bubble. But that cycle peaked and turned down, and they called this one the first big event associated with that cycle was called the Crisis of 1873. And then again, there was a secondary crisis, the Crisis of 1893. And from there, that cycle bottomed in the 1890s. That led us into the Industrial Revolution. And that cycle actually peaked in 1921. And you say, well, 1921, the market topped in 1929. That's correct. And, you know, I have always heard, you've probably always heard, most of us have always heard that the Fed kind of, I forget the, you know, we all heard it a little differently, caused the Great Depression, lack of better words. And in one respect, I guess they did, and maybe it wasn't intentional. I'm not saying that in that particular case. But the cycle peaked in 1921. And just like what we've seen today, there's been intervention. And it was blown up into, at the time, the biggest bubble in history. And we see how it ended. And everybody knows about the crash in the Great Depression and the decline into the 1930s. Well, that cycle bottomed, like I said, in the 1930s. And then we had the onset of World War II. And that really is when we began to pull out of that. We needed that debt expansion and creation of debt and to create, you know, the environment to generate the inflation and the government spending, et cetera, to fuel the economy out of that low. And that's really the first crisis following the advent of the Federal Reserve where that tool was available. And that's exactly what we saw. I mean, that's what happened. And that cycle turned up, like I said, in the 1930s through the World War II era and peaked with the 1966 bull market top. And you had driving that cycle was the war, and then following the war, the post-World War economic boom. We've all heard about that. And like I said, peaked with the 66 bull market top. bottomed with the 74 bear market bottom. And then from there, the next cycle was born. This time it was with the technology era. And, you know, it took hold really in the late 80s and mid to late 80s, you know, the advent of the PC. I don't know if everybody, you know, our audience is old enough to remember that, but, you know, in the mid 80s, and then that segued into the dot-com era and, you know, the advent of cellular, et cetera, et cetera. And so that cycle was driven by an economic underpinning taking us into the dot-com top in 2000. And then it burst. And the next cycle was then born out of the 02 low. And this time, you know, everybody points to AI, and I know that's a new technology, but this is 20 plus years after that 02 low, and it is, I would argue that there's been, other than the advent of AI, there's not been an economic underpinning. There was no economic underpinning in, you know, in 02 or 03 or 10 or you know, there's been nothing. What this entire rally has been based on has been monetary policy. And so there's not really been a sound underlying economic activity, if you will, like all these other examples that I cited. And so we've had all these years, what you and I have been looking at has been, talking is this continued expansion of this bubble and this I don't want to say fictitious, but this fabricated cycle, for lack of better words. And then when you break it down further, what you find is that, or what I found, is that the first attempted downturn out of this cycle came with this current long-term economic cycle came with, the 07 top and the decline into the 09 low. And then what did we see? You know, Obama came out with his, I forget what it was called, the something Recovery Act, American Recovery Act, I think it was called. And at the time, that was the biggest stimulus package ever. And then that led us into, eventually into the COVID top. And then that time, we saw the greatest expansion yet ever. I think that package was, I don't remember the numbers, but it was multiple times greater than what we saw with, Obama's Recovery Act. And then in addition to the Recovery Act of following the 09 decline, we had all the QE programs and all that. Well, if you think about this, all that stimulus, it's stimulus, 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 stimulus. It was not true economic activity underpinning, like a railroad bubble or an industrial revolution or a post-World War economic boom. But what they did do is, following the 2000 top, notice that it coincided, for example, without going all the way back in history, but the 2000 top, what happened? The market peaks in January, industrials in January of 2000, S&P and most everything else in March. And then as we decline down in, you know, the decline takes hold, what comes along? 9/11, war on terrorism. And that was kind of the cover story, if you will, for that expansion of federal debt. It was used, the war effort, the war effort, the war effort, the war effort. And so we had that going on coming out of that low, and that also helped fuel out of that 02 and that long-term economic cycle from the 02 bottom. And that continued, that war spending continued all the way into the COVID top. I think it was in, don't hold me to this, I could be off a little bit, but I think it was in November, I think it was November the 19th, I don't know, I could be wrong, or maybe it was just November of 19, that the war on terrorism was dubbed over. And then a few months later, COVID. And so it shifted to COVID. And COVID was, that stimulus was used to drive us, or to help fuel us, or the cover. It, how do I say this? That became the cover story, if you will. Like the war on terrorism, that became the cover story and the excuse for the spending and the reinflation out of that downturn. Well, now here we are. This is the third attempted downturn out of this current long-term economic cycle. And from that perspective, that's what I'm saying. This is a cover story that I think is a cover story, and B, it's an attempt to again reinflate out of the system, you know, to reinflate the system, just like again the war on terrorism was, etc. But I don't think this time that is apt to work. I think we're seeing something much bigger. It's the, like I said, we're dealing with a long-term economic cycle that has been completely fabricated. And again, when I say fabricated, no solid underlying economic underpinning. This has been going on for 20-plus years. I've seen a few people understanding that what we're dealing with as far as a major downturn here, and a few people, but I don't think many understand the magnitude, the true magnitude of, or the risk here of what's at stake. And I think that what's at stake here with this downturn, and I know it's off to a slow start, nothing exciting has really happened yet, the cattle are calm, everything's cool, but what I think we're setting up for a little later this year, and the charts are guiding me, and the indicators, and you know, we're following along and we're monitoring it as it develops. But I think we're seeing the setup for with this downturn. I think it's begun, and then I think what's at stake is the entire global financial system itself. This is not just a decline like 02 or 09 or even 1929. The fiat debt-based system, the entire fiat debt-based system, house of cards, I think is at risk. And that is what all the talk was about the Great Reset and all that kind of stuff back in the 2020 time frame. I think that's where we're headed. Exactly what that's going to look like, you know, I don't know. But I think that's the risk we face, and that's the big picture of where we are. And yes, from that perspective, this is, for lack of better words, cover story.
With that in mind, Tim, what can the average investor do? What can I do to protect myself? Bail right now?
Well, I'm not giving anybody specific investment advice. First of all, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. You may think I'm full of beans, and if so, well, you know, do your thing. But I think prudence is certainly in order. If someone wants more, and I'm not trying to be a salesman, I'm saying if you want some hardcore data, if you want more information on this, I'm covering it in the letters. If not, that's fine too. But it's hard to dispute the data. And, you know, if I see a train coming down the track, my inclination personally is to get off the track and try to be safe. But if you look at every one of these long-term economic cycles, the result is deflationary. And when I say deflationary, all asset prices go down. And I don't see, looking at that history and the consistency of that cycle, I mean, that's what it is. It's a deflation by nature. The system is trying to deflate. The cycle is trying to roll over, however you want to say it. The rolling over of the cycle is deflationary. The creation of the cycle, the upturn of this advance out of the O2 low, that's been inflationary because of all the spending. And debt spending, debt creation. And so once that no longer works and you round the curve, which is where I'm thinking we are, then it turns to deflation, just like we got a glimpse of in 2000, but that was brief. Just like we got a glimpse of, people have forgotten how bad 07, 08, and 09 were. You know, it was dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And 2020 was kind of a flash thing. So, you know, so that was just kind of a warning shot. It was brief, but we are definitely facing a deflationary downturn of all assets. And history clearly shows that looking at all of these cycles, they're all the same.
Now, people like Warren Buffett have made their fortunes because when they feel the markets are getting toppy, they go to cash, wait for everything to drop to much lower lows, and then they snap up the same quality shares at a better price.
Bingo. Yep.
Well, exactly. Of course, it helps to have Warren Buffett's wealth to really do that. Is gold going to be protective here?
No, mm-hmm. I don't think so. And I don't want to make the gold bugs mad. I mean, it's reality. And statistics and analysis and data telling me that. Now, I don't think gold is going to be hit as hard as equities. So in that respect, and doing some work and in-depth, you know, analysis with you know, I just leave it at that, because next thing you know, it's too deep to talk about in an interview. But looking at some analysis that I've covered in recent letters, it's pretty clear to me that, like I said, all asset classes will go down together, and we're seeing the crack in gold. Of course, it's still $4,800 or so, if I remember right. But it let me say it this way: if you think about this, if the downturn, or if let me say it another way. If the upturn out of the, and by the way, I don't have a current quote. We're around 4,740, close to $4,800 on this little bounce. But on the, back to the cycle, gold has been fueled. If you go back to the 02 low and think about what happened, we had all the debt creation since that low. I mean, looking back at the 02 low, I've got a chart here. I don't know if I can see it just going across the page on the chart. But back at the time of the 02 low, we were somewhere, and this is rough. I don't need anybody to take me to task on this because I'm just taking my eyes across the chart. But we were somewhere around 6 to 7 trillion public debt, and now we're at 39. So this entire cycle, back to my point, we've seen the greatest expansion of debt with this cycle. This has all been based on government spending and the creation of debt. That is why gold has done what gold has done. It has been a barometer of this inflation, of this cycle. Well, if the inflation effort is over and it turns deflationary, then it's still going to be a barometer of the inflation, but it's not going to be inflation. And gold will go down. I don't think it's going to go down, like I said, based on some other work, to the same degree as other asset prices. No, I do not.
We'll have more with Tim Cycles Van Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cycles Van Wood. Tim, the price of crude hovering around $100 or so since the war broke out with Iran. Will prices remain relatively high for a long time, even if there's a ceasefire, because so much infrastructure has been destroyed in the Gulf due to Iranian missiles?
Yeah, gold. I mean, crude oil is interesting here at this juncture. By the way, I pulled up a current quote. Yeah, gold. I was right. It was 48.10. Crude oil is down a little bit today. 99.49, but it's still right around that $100 mark, as you said. And I think I don't remember what the high was, around 120 or so.
Yep.
And so what was happening, this is very interesting, is what was happening with gold, I mean, with crude oil, there's a long-term, I'll say long-term, so approximately 3-year cycle. Last bottom in 23, in the commodity complex, and it was trying to roll over. I mean, it was set up. That was one of the things I've been watching. And back in, well, January, February, I mean, it made a bottom, in a minor bottom along the way. In December, turned up, and it should have been, or looked like it was going to be counter trend, and then boom, this news comes out with the war, and it blows that cycle sky high. Well, long story short, knowing that there is a 3-year cycle, knowing that that cycle last bottomed in 23, and knowing that the next cycle is due late this year or early next, I think this is a counter trend rally in crude oil. Now, I don't think it's over, and I don't know how high it can go, but I think it's counter trend. And before someone thinks I'm crazy, think back to 07 when we saw that first attempted downturn out of the long-term economic cycle there. We, you know, as the market peaked in 07 and began rolling over, that's when we had the peak oil, peak oil. Then the cover story, if you will, was peak oil, peak oil, peak oil. And that's when crude oil made its all-time high. What was it, 142, 146, something like that. And then it totally crashed into that cyclical low. I don't know, the structure of the cycle is a little different here, but I think we're seeing something similar in that we're pushing, this is part of the setup that we're pushing into a major high. Now that's, I'm not saying that, I mean, I'll see it in the charts when I see it in the charts, but I'm not saying that we're at that major high. I'm saying we're pushing into a major 3-year cycle top that should, that is due, I mean, it's, well, it's past due. I mean, the low is due later this year or early next. So it was, that top was trying to set up when the war news broke. So I think, again, this is an ending push, kind of like what we saw in 08.
Now, cryptocurrencies, are they going to be hit with this as well?
I think so. I think all asset type, when the liquidity crisis strikes, it's going to hit everything.
Oh, wow. And right now, too, no one's really talking about these empty office buildings. It's commercial real estate collapsing quietly and nobody's noticing.
Exactly like the market is setting up right now and nobody's noticing. I agree.
And now with the high price of fuel, a lot of people are saying they should be allowed to work from home because it's too expensive to commute. Good argument?
I think that is a good argument, but I think that's part of the plan, if you will. Did you not see there was some energy agency, International Energy Agency, that has already released a little bulletin about basically that very thing, and I think that's all part of the part of the setup.
Because I see the British Columbia Government Employees Union wants their people to be able to work from home because they can't afford to commute. And if Americans think $4 a gallon for gas is a lot, for Canadians that would be $1 a liter, which we would consider cheap, because in Vancouver we're paying $2.16 a liter, so that's $8 plus a gallon, almost $9 a gallon.
Yep, and that's for the perspective I'm talking about. See, you need to reinflate. And in the short term, this is a reinflation effort. I think I talked about that in the last interview. You know, you got to create that inflation, just like after COVID. You had the inflation from, you know, the supply chain shortages and that sort of thing, and that generated inflation. The system needs debt creation and inflation to survive. Like Richard Russell used to say many, many years ago, the system has to inflate or it dies. And so from that perspective, these higher fuel prices in the short term are a reinflation effort. But in the long term, I think they're going to crush it. I say long term. I don't even think it's going to be real long term. I don't think this is sustainable for very long. I mean, I think we're in the setup.
Was this inevitable? Again, people will blame this war with Iran, but was this going to happen anyway?
Absolutely. This is what we've been talking about. This downturn, like I said, with the first economic downturn. It went largely without too much of a cover story. You know, peak oil, peak oil, peak oil, and then it went down. And then it was all about, you know, remember the term they were saying that they needed to. I forget who said what, but it was the. I guess it was in Congress or the Fed. It said if they didn't intervene or do something, there would be blood in the streets and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was a pretty shocking decline at the time. And then with this second downturn, we had COVID as a cover story, if you will. And yeah, the timing of it is impeccable. So I agree.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Nope. Only from my perspective, you know, watching the developments with this setup and understanding where we're at. And I mean, it's a slow, quiet little process, little setup, you know, and I think it's going to be, a monstrous rally coming. I don't think we're there yet, but I know we're up today, and oh, that's what you're talking about. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I think there's going to be a good rally coming. It's going to set us up. I have to watch the structure of things, and then once we get the right setup with that rally showing that it's run its course, then I think the real fireworks begin. I think this is just the opening act for the setup.
So we're about to scoot up to the top of the roller coaster, and then it's going to be a wild ride down.
I think we hadn't maybe hit quite the bottom of this run, but yeah. and then we're going to have a rally, and everybody's going to think, boy, we're going to have, obviously, I suspect, I mean, it's easy to speculate on this, looking at what's going on, but I suspect it'll come that advance will be associated with good news with the war and probably the opening of the straits and that kind of stuff, you know, and then boy, boom, like you said, down with the roller coaster.
That's interesting, Tim. Well, you've been right so often, it would be hard for somebody to discount this. It's going to be like that Chinese curse says, may you live in interesting times.
Well, we've talked about this, yeah. You know, you and I have talked about this extended bubble for as long as we've been talking. And, you know, and I have, you know, I've acknowledged in my work that, you know, hey, we've had, you know, intermediate term buy signals and long term buy signals and short term buy signals. So I haven't been, some people might say, yeah, well, you're being a perma bear. No, mm-hmm. I've been talking about this bubble. I mean, within the context of this bubble, yeah, we've been going up. And, we've even had, you know, Dow theory primary bullish trend changes within this bubble, which, if someone not reading the work can't very well criticize, but what I'm saying here is that I think we're seeing the setup and, things are going to change drastically.
Tim, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.